All right, guys, welcome back. EYL, Hometown Heroes Edition.
ATL,
shout out to A, yeah, shout out to the great city of Atlanta. It's like a second home for us. You know, we love Atlanta. So today's going to be a very exciting, very educational episode. Something I'm actually very interested to learn about.
Yeah, man, it's a lot because a lot of people are trying to get in this game and they have no idea all the things that have to go into it, man. So
yeah,
it's
going
to
be a good one. People always ask us for like different topics.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest topics for a while has been Airbnb.
Yeah.
And
we use it a lot.
Yeah, if you travel, you likely have stayed in the Airbnb, right? And a lot of people, they want to know, like, how do you get money? Like, how does the business work? It's one of those things, like all things that we cover, there's really no college to learn about this kind of stuff. You just kind of got to learn on the fly or make a bunch of mistakes. So when we was coming to Atlanta, I reached out to the good brother, Alex Good Energy. Shout out to Alex.
Prestigious alum.
Prestigious. One of our most prestigious alumni. And I you know, Alex is the man out in Atlanta. So I'm like, yo, I want to do a episode on Airbnbs. And he's like, all right, say no more. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it on my Instagram. And I'm going to see what kind of reaction out for I get. Us. Yeah. So he put it. And a lot of people hit him up about our guest today, Lexi Wright. And we reached out to her. And it was a quick turnaround. She's like, yeah, I'll do it. And here we are. So Lexi is young. She's 23 years old, recent graduate from Georgia State University, right?
Yes, sir.
And but she's making a killing in the Airbnb game right now. She currently has 22 units that she has under management. And she scaled very, very quickly in a short period of time. She said on Instagram, she went from like 3,000 to like almost like 30,000 a month in Airbnb profit. So
that's no joke.
We reached out to her and she's going to give us a lot of gains. So first and foremost, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Welcome.
Yeah. So, all right. So how did you get into the Airbnb game? Like what made you, because I know you used to work corporate, right?
Yes.
So what made you say, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur and a lot of people want to get into real estate, but what made you want to go the Airbnb route?
So when you talk about real estate, there's a lot of different avenues to the real estate industry. So when I look at the real estate, how a lot of people do it, which is long-term leasing, and then you look at Airbnb, which is short-term leasing, and you compare the two, it's always better to do the short-term leasing. So like I tell you guys, if I have a property and I put a tenant in it, a long-term tenant, I might charge that tenant only $1,000 or $1,100 a month, versus I could do that same house for short-term leasing and make that $1,100 in 3 or 4 days just off being on Airbnb. So I knew that Airbnb was it. If I can do short-term leasing versus long-term leasing and make the same amount of profits within 3 or 4 days, I can scale my business. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I knew that the Airbnb was it.
So what was your first Airbnb? Like how did you initiate getting into the game?
So I moved out of my last place, and when I moved out of my last place, I was working with this realtor and she had moved out too. We lived in the same building. And when she moved out, I still kept seeing her in the building. So I was like, what are you doing here? And she told me, she was like, I put my unit up for Airbnb. So when I was ready to move out, she told me, she said, it's paying my rent and it's rent. So I was like, well, I ain't gonna let mine go when it's time for me to go. And I didn't. And that's what happened to mine too. It was paying its bills and my bills at my new place. So then I was like, well, I might as well go get more. I was already in the real estate industry. We were both in real estate. So
what'd you do?
It was just the industry.
You said you was already in real estate, like in what capacity?
So buying and holding.
Okay.
Yep. Fixing flips.
Okay.
So you're 23, right? So where is this business acronym coming from? Is this something that was passed down from like family members? Is it just like, you know what, something along the way during your experience said, this is the route I have to go?
I don't know. Honestly, I've always told my parents I didn't want to work for nobody. And I worked for the same job for 6 years. Since I was 14, I worked for Chick-fil-A. And I just used to say, like, this is not for me. I started a lingerie line in high school. I was 16. My parents are like, you ain't starting a lingerie line.
That's an awkward. I'm thinking, like, if my daughter tells me at 16, we're going to have a problem.
It wasn't that kind of lingerie. It was, like, pajama wear.
I don't care.
But it was cute. So at that point in time, I was like, I just can't keep working for nobody. I was like, I have to get out of this. My mom worked for the same company for 15 years. My dad, same thing. So it's like, who's gonna break it? Honestly, my stepfather is the only entrepreneur in our family. And he came along later on down the line. Mm-hmm. So somebody had to break it.
It was you.
It was me.
The chosen child.
Yeah, I was just, we just had that conversation last night as far as like we come from like working class environments, working class families and working class communities where it's like, you know, the goal a lot of times is to get a good job.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like even a good college, like yeah. like quote unquote what's considered a good job.
Right.
But it's like that's really a race to nowhere. Not to knock a job, mm-hmm. but it's like ultimately you're one paycheck away from poverty.
Right.
Right? You're
just
working
over broke.
You're working for 30 years, you don't really have enough to retire. And yep. it's like you see that with parents, grandparents, mm-hmm. and it's like you said, it's like the entrepreneur route is not something that was always taught. Like right. now it is.
Yeah.
But before, it wasn't something that was always like a sexy thing to do. Yeah. But it's important. It's important.
It is.
So let me ask you this. All right. So the Airbnb, right? Because mm-hmm. we're going to talk about the Airbnb in detail. And it's interesting. I didn't even know that you can actually Airbnb an apartment or a home and not actually own it. Like, yeah. I thought you had to like be the owner of the property. Mm-hmm. And then because it's like, I didn't know you can actually do that. So before anything, right? Can you explain the differences between, okay, the different types of Airbnbs, like as far as owner occupied and renting and like how those work?
Yeah, is it like a subleasing type situation?
So are you saying the difference between, so like somebody like if might I own this house?
Yeah, like if I own this house as opposed to somebody else owns the house and then I'm coming in and I'm renting it.
Okay, so let's use this house for example. So you own this house. So like I said, there's a few ways that you can go through Airbnb when it comes to knowing how to do the lease. So the owner could say, hey, I have this house and it might be up for 12, the same thing with short-term and long-term leasing. It might be up for $1,200 a month. Then I might come in, I might see that same property on the MLS or something. The MLS is the real estate site where people go look for houses. So I might say, hey, I wanna use this property for Airbnb and explain to you the difference between short-term and long-term leasing. And this is considered master leasing. So I'm gonna come to you and I'm gonna say, hey, I'll have my master leasing contract.
Can you explain what master leasing mm-hmm. is?
So master leasing is like, say I have five properties already, or just say I had one, or say I had two, and I'm gonna continue to keep adding. So it's like master leasing, these different places. That's how master leasing works. So I'm gonna come to you as the owner, I'm gonna say, hey, I have these two other properties, this is what I make off these properties. I don't have any issues with parties. I don't have any issues with bad guests. I do major screening, deep screening. So what do you think?
Okay.
And that's the approach when it comes to master leasing. Of course, it gets deeper when you talk about contracts because there's different kind of master leasing contracts that you can use. But generally speaking, that's just what it is. Hey, this is my portfolio. What do you think?
So just from a number standpoint, let's hypothetically say that I'm paying $1,000 rent.
Yep.
Right? I can list that property that I'm renting for $2,000 or, you know what I mean? Like, how does that work from a number standpoint?
Okay, so you want to talk about this house?
Yeah, let's use this house.
So when it comes, you have to specify the difference between short-term and long-term leasing.
Okay.
So like I said, if you were the owner of the unit of this property and you had this unit up for $1,000 a month mm-hmm. for a long-term tenant, meaning, hey, this tenant is going to pay $1,000 for a 12-month lease.
Right.
Versus Airbnb, I can say, hey, I'm going to put this up on a short-term rental platform and I can literally do this $1,000 within a week.
Oh,
so
gotcha,
what
gotcha.
You're making in a month on long-term leasing, I'm doing in a week.
So I'm a profit, if that is the case, right? And I'm doing that $1,000 a week, I profit yeah, $3,000
exactly.
a year. Okay, gotcha.
So, but all right, that makes sense. But so it's like, okay, if I want to just rent a home, right?
Yep.
Usually I just get a tenant, I want to charge them $1,000 a month.
Uh-huh.
They sign a one-year lease with me mm-hmm. and they're obligated to pay me $1,000 a month. Easy.
Right.
I get, that's easy, everybody understands that. But now it's like, you're coming and you're saying, wait, don't do that. I'm gonna come as an Airbnb host.
No. So what I'm saying is, I'm gonna do the same thing that you just said, except I'm gonna put it up for Airbnb. So now when you talk about master leasing, it becomes a point where you have to pay to play. So you might have this unit up for $1,000, but I might need to convince you that I wanna put it up on a short-term rental platform. So I might say, hey, let me give you $1,400 a month.
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
Okay. Gotcha.
And I'm gonna go put it up on the platform. Gotcha. Let me give you $1,400 a month. Your deposit might be half the rent. So yeah. Your deposit might be $500. Okay, bet, let me give you an $800 deposit.
All right, okay. So we got that part, but let's go back just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
How do I even become an Airbnb host?
It's just, so people, that's where a lot of people get, they don't really know. It's really just going on the website and becoming a host.
That's it?
That's it.
Create a username, password, profile.
You don't have to do that. Log in with your Google login and you're a host.
And you're a host. You, without any profit.
I'm probably a host right now.
No. You have to list a property.
Okay.
Yep, you have to have at least one to become
a host. It doesn't have to be a home. It could be a room.
It could be a room. It could be a room in this house.
Yeah, we told that story on an episode of how Airbnb was founded. It was started out with air mattresses in
Share
a room.
Space, yeah. Yep.
So, all right. So, okay. So, if I have... Okay, so you come to me. You say, okay, I'm not going to give you $1,000 a month. I'm going to sign a year lease for $1,400.
Right.
Which, okay, now I'm getting 40% more than what I would have gotten.
Absolutely.
But now you're in control of... You can make as much money as you want mm-hmm. from the Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? So now you have to pay that $1,400 a month no matter what.
Exactly.
So... Are owners open to that? Because it's like now, it's one thing to have one person living in your place, but now you got
multiple people.
10 people a month.
Maybe,
in it.
If
like,
you're lucky.
Saying? Like, what's the...
So, one thing you have to understand about that, that's with any business. Everybody's not going to tell you yes. I haven't been told yes all the time. You run into those right people will tell you yes. That's how I feel about it. There are different people, but like I said, when it comes to even with my apartment buildings, I still do screening. So you need to have your email address on your profile. You need to have your profile picture. You need to have your phone number. You need to have your government ID uploaded. Mm. Everything needs to be on there before you book my place. You won't be able to book unless you have all four of those credentials. So then when you talk about different people coming in and out, it becomes it's a risk anyway.
Right.
It's a risk with a long-term tenant.
True.
Because you don't know this person. This is a complete stranger.
Yeah, so the long-term tenant, usually when you rent, you have to get some type of insurance. Is it the same for Airbnb if I do it that way?
So you have to have insurance.
You don't have to have insurance to rent.
No, you don't have to have insurance to rent, but if I have a place, I have to have insurance.
Right, that's what
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have insurance to rent a place.
No, you don't. And you have to, but the deposit. So it's just like renting a regular apartment.
You're just going to be paying a little bit more.
So you're just subleasing it.
Yeah, because you're going to make triple if you think about it. So it's really like...
So it's a win-win for everybody because you're gonna pay the owner. You always have to pay the owner more.
Anyway, you don't have to because you have some owners that will be like, okay, $1,000 is fine. People don't understand the real estate industry. The market is it's saturated, but it's not. So then you run into those owners that are like, look, I just want to get this property. I just want to make income off of it. Mm-hmm. Because then there comes a point of time where some landlords are not even making money. So like this house, they probably just threw it up for Airbnb because they probably wasn't making anything off of it. And I can honestly tell that by the furniture that's in it. They didn't get in the business to scale it. It's like, dang, this house probably not, I couldn't find a long-term tenant. It's probably the area. It could be the house. It could be the design, the structure. It could be anything.
So that's what I was going to ask you as far as, all right. So as far as a regular person off the street that just wants to get involved in Airbnb, right? Mm-hmm. How do you know? Because it's like you sign a one-year lease, but you're not planning on living there. It's a risk.
Yes.
If you can't. So like, how do you know, like, this is something that I'm definitely going to be able to get off on Airbnb? Like, how do you, is it the area? Is it the location? What's the most important?
Are you saying making rent? Like taking the risk?
I guess like the determining factors to say like, I'm going to do
like
it in this area.
Is a good deal.
Oh, okay, I see.
Like,
so
this is a good deal for
the
Airbnb.
So let's talk about houses. The area is really the most essential thing. Where's the grocery store? Where's the nearest mall? Where's the airport? Where's the nearest movie theater? Mm. Where are the amenities? Where's the leisure activity? There are some houses that are off. Like, for instance, the south side of Atlanta. There's houses that's off, but they probably get booked maybe every weekend. And then with houses, you also have to understand the seasons.
Yeah.
Families aren't traveling all throughout the year. Yeah. You get holiday season, families are traveling, that's it.
Mm. Yeah,
so houses have its down season versus apartments. Like with my units, those corporate guys are always traveling. Like they have to work regardless. Mm. They're not coming to stay in a 5-bedroom house. They're not coming to stay here. You guys are working. But how many podcasts literally come through where it's 4 people when they need a 3-bedroom, 2-bath? You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So then you can, as a regular person coming off the street to answer your question, I suggest starting off with apartments. Because it's easier, it's cheaper, you furnishing, it's not as much as furnishing a house.
Yeah. I was just thinking in my head, like you do both, right? You own some properties and you rent.
Exactly.
From which standpoint you're saying now, like renting the properties easier is less risk.
Yeah, it's less risk.
Okay.
And then when it comes to buying, if you already don't have a property under a mortgage, I don't suggest going to get a mortgage to put a property up for Airbnb. Because think about it. If you have a $200,000 mortgage, how long is it going to take you to make your money back?
It's going to be a minute.
Yeah, versus if you already have a property and you're like, maybe I'm moving out of town, or maybe I'm moving on the other side of town, but I don't want to let my house go.
Yeah,
or I don't got time to sell it.
Maybe you want
to
switch that property after the year lease is up.
Yeah, or maybe you want just some extra income.
Yeah.
You got a bunch of different options there. So you get those people that are like, hey, I just want to do something with this house. And it doesn't take, you don't really know when to find a long-term tenant. Then you get a wait list with long-term tenants. People don't pass background checks. People don't make the deposit. Income, they don't got income. It's all kind of stuff that comes with finding a long-term tenant that people don't realize.
So you would suggest, okay, if somebody was looking to get into Airbnb, it makes more sense to do it the subleasing route as opposed to like buying a place just for the purpose of Airbnb.
Right,
you know?
Correct.
It's going to take you a lot longer to get the money back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense.
I've honestly never seen anybody do it that way.
You've never seen anybody buy something?
I've never seen somebody go buy something to go put up an Airbnb. Never. Even the huge corporations that are here, that's short-term leasing, they're subleasing.
So there's corporations that do what you do, pretty much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have them up on all the platforms. There's other platforms, too, besides Airbnb. There's HomeAway. There's VRBO. There's Booking.com, TripAdvisor, all those, too.
So those corporations, they're coming in. They're not getting one property. They're getting maybe 6 to 12 properties
exactly.
at a time.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what's the profit margins? Like, if you, all right, let's say a house costs $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
How much can a person realistically make in a month? Like, is it three times? Like, what? Like, what's the goal, actually? That's a better question. What's the goal? Like, you could say, okay, I'm going to pay $1,000, but I want to get no less than $3,000. Like, is it something like that?
So let me tell you something about the business. And I'm gonna look at the camera and say this. It's not a business that you get into and you start profiting 30 grand just because you got 5 units. That's not how it works. The platform is for you to progress. So I started with my first month and I might have made $1,500. My second month, I might have made $3,000. My third month, I might have made $4,000. My fifth month, I might have did 10 grand. So it's a business that where you can grow into. Some people, they look at my page and they look at my business and they're like, oh, that's what I want to do. Oh, she's doing this. Oh, she's doing that. And they don't know what it took for me to get there. So I didn't start off making 30 and 40 grand a month. That's not how it worked.
You earned your leisure.
Yes, you have to. And then the thing about Airbnb, you become, there's a status that you become. It's called a super host status. The super host status puts you up in the algorithm. So when I say algorithm, I mean, say you're going out of town and you're searching on booking.com or Airbnb, you might see 30 pages.
Mm-hmm.
Who going to the 30th page?
Nobody makes it to
it. Thank you.
Nobody's making it to 30. Oh, so the Airbnb has an algorithm to reach to the top.
That's the biggest thing on Airbnb is to be in the algorithm. If you're not in the algorithm, you're not getting booked.
How do you get there?
There's a lot of different things just with listing the property. It's hard to say do this, do that, honestly,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to the algorithm. There's just different things you have to know as a host that needs to be done or needs to be listed properly on your unit, on your listing.
Okay.
So when it comes to the algorithm itself, you have the super host status. Super hosts are already up in the algorithm.
Then what's a super host?
A super host is a 90-day assessment. So once you get it, you have to maintain it. You don't get it and then keep it. You have to keep maintaining it every quarter. So they do it every 90 days. There's a super host assessment. So you only have one cancellation every 365 days.
Okay.
Literally, you're on pins and needles.
Okay.
For a year, or you lose it. So you won't get super host status if you cancel.
So that's really out of your control, right?
If you cancel,
right?
Or the somebody else cancels.
No, if you cancel. The guest canceling has nothing to do with your status.
Okay.
If you cancel. So, like you said, the leaks,
mm-hmm.
maintenance, maybe housekeeping didn't show up, those kind of things.
Complaints
in regard to what?
Like if somebody complains about your Airbnb.
No, if they ever occupy your unit, it won't count.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so once they open the door,
that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Now, not to cut you off, but you said that you went from 3,000 to 6,000 to 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked to us off camera about having that mindset of scaling business.
Yes.
What are some things that help scale, right? Because you walked in here today and you're like, well, yeah, okay. Your vision was a lot different from when we walked in.
Right. So when it comes to scaling, you have to have automated systems in place.
Okay.
That is it. Your systems.
So like what kind of automated?
Housekeeping, automated system. So, and I'm going to be completely transparent. Housekeeping was the biggest downfall of my business, 2019. I hated housekeeping. So housekeeping is the most important, it's the most essential thing to the Airbnb business.
Why was it the worst? Is it like, were you actually going in and doing
it? No, it was the volume that I was having and having to have a housekeeper keep up with my volume. Mm. So I was running through, my turnover rate for housekeepers were like, it was crazy. Like I was looking for a new housekeeper every week. So sometimes I might have 6 checkouts. And then what you have to understand is checkout is at 11, check-in is at 3. So it might take the housekeeper, because you got to do linen, you got to wash linen, and you got to dry it. So it normally takes them minimum 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So now between 11 and 3, I got 6 properties that need to be cleaned. 3 of those might got another check-in coming in. So what if I only have 1 housekeeper? Who's going to clean those other 2 properties that has another check-in? Those 3 that didn't have a check-in, I might can get those tomorrow. But then that's a risk, because what if somebody wants to book that night?
So what do? You find more than one, or you find a company of housekeepers? What do you do?
So now I've come to the point, at first I was using housekeepers from different companies, or I would just post on my Instagram like, hey, I need a housekeeper. Mm-hmm. But then when I had to realize, hey, I'm running a hospitality company, it's not just a sweep of a broom or wiping off the counters or cleaning the toilet. It's different. You have the staging unit. Is a tissue full? Is the shampoo, the conditioner, and the soap out? Is the paper towels on? Like, housekeepers, they would do something like leave a quarter of a roll of tissue in the bathroom. Absolutely not. It's those little things that really count.
It goes a long way.
Saying. Make sure coffee and creamer are out.
Make sure you have washcloths.
Everything, at least enough.
We're only speaking.
I'm coming.
Yeah, yeah. We've been in some of them. Yeah.
But some people don't believe in washcloths. I noticed when you go to Airbnb, you never.
He's only speaking from experience.
You know who's owns the Airbnb if they don't have washcloths. It's a fact. It's strange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my question now is, right? So when you hire a company of cleaners, right? If you keep using them, does it help now with the cost? Or do you now make a deal to say, you know what, we've been using you, or we got so many properties now, can you cut the cost a little bit?
So now when I talk about automated systems, when I say the mistakes that I made, now I've come to the point where I needed my own housekeeping company.
You create your own.
Yeah, so yeah. I have my own housekeeping. Dope. So the thing that I was trying to do was support somebody else's business. That was my thing, because I already had the Airbnb business going. So mm-hmm. I was like, let me just find maybe, you know, somebody that could clean for me. Mm-hmm. But then it became a point in time like, oh no, this is not working, because they don't take my business as serious as I do. So now I need to find somebody to put on my own payroll.
Okay.
For housekeeping. And that's how I started the automated systems. Now you only work for me. Now I don't have to worry about you saying, oh, I got to go clean this property over here on the south side, or, oh, I got another job. No, you don't. It's not on my schedule.
It's not on my schedule.
Exactly. So that's what I mean by automated systems.
A real boss.
So you have an in-house cleaning service.
Yep.
Dope.
And I just did that within 2-3 months.
And how many cleaners do you have?
Only 3. But it's enough right now.
Right now.
So, they only work for your properties?
They only work for my properties.
That's dope. She's 23, y'all.
Nah, that's dope. Now, that makes sense, because it's like you got to, from a convenience level.
Yeah.
And you got to spend that money anyway.
Yeah.
So, like you said, why not spend it where it's on your watch, exactly, as opposed to somebody else's watch?
Right.
And now you cut out the nonsense.
Yeah. And then when you talk about cost, normally housekeepers charge like $70 or $80 for just say you wanted your own apartment clean. Mm-hmm. They might charge you $80 for a 1-bedroom, 1-bath. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying that if you clean 10 of my units in one day. So now, hey, what about 55? So now I only pay 45 to 55, depending on the cleaner, for each unit. Which is not bad, because I charge my guests 90. Hmm. So
the cleaning service is put inside of the rental.
The reservation, exactly.
Perfect.
So you guys pay the cleaning fee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you get paid on that. You get paid on the back end.
Yes, sir.
I just thought about that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because you got to get the cleaning fee.
I need that cap out of you.
All right.
She's a real hustler, y'all.
I'm a hustler. I just thought about that. You got to get the money up front and on the back end.
Don't tell nobody.
We got the cleaning service, right? What are some other automated systems that we have in place? Because I'm looking into cleaning. That's a checklist. What else we got to do?
So check-ins, having a lockbox. So you guys had a code on the door.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work everywhere, remind you, but it is an automated system, because I don't have to then go meet the guests.
Yeah.
Because I do have some units where my assistant has to go actually meet them to check in.
Yeah, we had a situation with a lockbox in LA.
No,
we
almost got killed. Troy almost got killed.
Well, thanks, Troy.
Yeah, I almost got killed.
Yeah, now we went to LA and we did an Airbnb, and we got in late, like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, like
and the lockbox was in the middle of an alley.
It was in an alley.
In LA. Nah. And we're sitting there, Shadi's trying to get the lockbox open. He can't get it open. So like we're pulled into an alley, lights on, we see people down the alley, and I'm like, damn. All right, we left the alley, came back. I'm like, maybe that's not the right one. We came back, circled back to the same alley. He's back at the box. Now I see two people at the end of the alley. I'm like, yo, Shadi, somebody coming this way, bro.
Okay.
And he's like, yo, just keep an eye on him. I'm like, all right, his back's turned. They walk into me, and they walk up to me, and this dude flashes a gun. And I'm like,
In the alley.
This dude's back is turned. He's trying to unlock the box.
Nah, he pulled the burnout on him.
That's a fact.
He asked him what set he was banging. And he's like, we're not gangbanging. We're just doing a financial literacy podcast.
Yo, it was the craziest moment because like his back was turned. He's like, yo, what set you claiming? I'm like, yo, bro, we just here on some video. Like, I don't know what you're doing. So then he said, all right, and walked off. And like 10 seconds later, Shai was like, yo, what do you want? I'm like, yo, bro, where was you?
Apartment.
It was across the street.
Exactly. That wasn't a unit where you can do sub checking. That was a lazy landlord.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
A lazy host.
Never do. That was dangerous. That was bad. Yeah.
See, they probably had a unit to where you couldn't put a lockbox on the door. So they're like, "Oh, y'all coming in at 2 o'clock in the morning? There's no way I can check y'all in."
Yeah, and it was crazy. It was a crazy moment. But LA was good to us after.
Luckily, we made it out.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so having self-checking units or just checking concierge period is another automated system. What's another automated system? Inventory. I've learned to automate inventory because you have to be sure. So the way that I have mine set up is I'll have a box for my housekeepers and I'll have a box for my large storage for my clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I might keep 50 rolls of tissue and 20 rolls of paper towels in the large box. In the storage, but in the unit, I might only keep 5 paper towels and 10 tissues.
Okay.
So now when my housekeepers are coming, just say I have somebody come stay Monday and Tuesday, they check out Tuesday. Then I have somebody come in Wednesday, they check out Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now my housekeepers are not worried about going back to the large storage to get inventory. It's already in the unit.
Yeah.
So if I was to write it down you'll see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But basically I'm saying I don't have to worry about them after every checkout, figuring out where's tissue, where's paper towels, where's coffee, where's it's already here.
The supplies already here. So we're talking about tissue, paper towel, coffee if you've done it right.
Creamer, water bottles.
Yeah, you know what?
Washcloths, rags.
Yeah, some of the ones we stayed in didn't leave us any of that. But we ain't gonna throw anybody under the bus.
Nah, it's dope, man. And like you said, I mean, it's keeping it all in-house. And it only makes sense because it all relates to the business.
Right.
It's like if you gotta get your tires repaired, now, if they can fix your window too, it's like, you know, it's easier as opposed to like, all right, you got to go for the one mechanic for one thing, another mechanic for another thing.
Else.
You can do everything in house.
Yep.
Yeah. What about lawn care? Is that something that is in your systems?
For my two houses, yeah, but that's not often because it's really no grass.
Okay.
It ain't that kind of house.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on a college campus, on Georgia Tech's campus, and those kids, they don't care.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So you are a college student and you had Airbnbs on college.
On a college campus.
Oh, you was trapping out of campus. You was trapping out the bando. So all right. So now that was a bunch of education. We're gonna go into some do's and don'ts for the Airbnb industry in the next segment and some more game.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So one question that I had was like, so you. The regular homeowner, I got that. Somebody wants to just rent their home or their apartment, if they own it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talk about like these apartment buildings where nobody owns them, they're just like, whether it's luxury or just a regular apartment building, but it's owned by like a corporation that owns the building. But you can still Airbnb that. Like, how does that, who do you approach? Because you don't approach the owner. Like, how does that work? And I just want to make this clear too. Like, every state is different. We're in Georgia right now. So, you know, obviously I know LA is kind of cracking down, Boston.
Yeah.
So this conversation is geared, a lot of the stuff can be geared towards everything, but this probably will be geared towards where we're at now in Atlanta.
Right.
You got to check your own states and cities. Mm-hmm. But like in Atlanta, right? How does that work?
So in Atlanta, we don't have any regulations here yet. I'm gonna knock on some wood because I the reason the regulations are in place are due to people having those large parties, There are some crazy things that go on in the Airbnb industry that people don't realize. Like, it gets deeper than just checking in and checking out guests. Mm-hmm. You get to a point where, like, for instance, one of my units, my housekeeper went in and there was blood everywhere.
Whoa.
So she called me, like, she was afraid. My assistant called me. She's like, Lexi. And I'm like, what's going on? It was the first time I've had it happen.
When they checked in, it was blood?
No. Oh, when the housekeeper went to clean after the housekeeper. Guest checked
okay.
There was blood everywhere. So you have those different things where the government wants to regulate. And then, of course, they don't get paid off us. There's people on the platform that's making $1 million, $5 million, and the government gets none of it. Mm. So you know how they are. They want a piece of everybody's pie. So when it comes to those regulations, those states, they have their reasons why, whether it's for tax regulations, whether it's for those. So here in Atlanta, I know we have this thing where even in our mansions, people want to have those large parties, and then you have neighbors, the cars are parked all in the cul-de-sac. Like, yeah. those are all different reasons the regulations come about. So when it comes to the luxury apartments, it's really hard for them to regulate it here because none of those issues are really going on besides the tax regulations, which is government controlled.
Now, where we live, like, obviously, having subleasing sometimes is frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like here in Atlanta?
Subleasing, like, for luxury apartments?
Yeah.
So to your question, Alex, there's units where they don't care about you doing it,
uh-huh.
but you're not supposed to.
Okay.
So, like, there's a few buildings here in Atlanta to where they don't really care. Like, they know the whole building is Airbnb. Like, don't ever try me. I'm coming here and applying. It's my Airbnb.
They got new tenants every 3 days.
Yeah.
But how does that work, though? Like, do you have to actually apply for the apartment? Like, you're renting it yourself?
Yeah. So, you would go in, apply regular as if you're renting it yourself.
Okay.
And you furnish it as if it was an Airbnb. You know, like, as if you were living in it, as if somebody was coming to stay in for a few days. You do everything the same as if you were moving in. People think it's so hard, it's not.
But you can only do that, you can't really scale with that because it's like, how many apartments can you lease under your name?
Unless you do it through a company.
So the company is different, but renting amount of apartments under your name don't matter.
Oh, okay.
Because only the inquiries go on your report, not the apartments. The apartments only go on your credit report if you get evicted or if you leave a balance.
So you can rent as many apartments as you want?
Yeah.
As long as you pay them?
As long as you pay them.
I mean, I know you have a background in credit.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah. What's the role that credit plays in being a part of this Airbnb hosting?
So no evictions. A lot of places, no bankruptcies. And then away from credit, no, you have to have a clear background. That's all that matters.
There's no minimum score or anything like that?
Decent. I think a lot. So for luxury, I think you got to have at least like a 600, 620.
That's it?
Yeah. It's not that bad. Like, you ain't gotta walk in there with no 850.
So, yeah, like, right. What about, like, a photographer? Because, like, me personally, when I look at the Airbnbs, I'm always big on, like, the pictures. And mm-hmm. I'm like, some people don't have, like, one picture. And then some people, their pictures look crazy. I never forget, shout out to my man Jamal. We went to Asia for 30 days. And we picked the Airbnb in Thailand. And it was crazy. Like, it was so crazy. Like, the pictures looked dope. And we got there, and we was driving for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, and it's like back roads, and I'm like, all right.
Wonder where this place is going to be.
I wonder where this is going. And we get there, and it's a luxury apartment building.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. Literally, we look out of the window, and there's like kids playing in the street with no shoes. Like, we're in the trenches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where did this come from? Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's
did
like
they show the outside on the pictures?
No, they didn't. So
got him.
So like for the first question that I have is like photography. How important is photography? And like, what is there like certain thing like you should always show your kitchen? You should mm-hmm. show your bath. Like, what tips can you give on that?
So let me tell you the two main contact points for any Airbnb listing: the listing title and its pictures. So the main picture on the front.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful booking Airbnbs. If it doesn't show the outside, don't book it.
Got you.
I was just looking at Airbnbs yesterday for Miami, and if it didn't show the outside, I was scrolling right by.
When you say the outside, you mean like out of the house or like a street view or?
A picture of where I'm walking into. For this house, on the street, I want to see how the whole house looks. For an apartment building, I want to see the apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
For a mid-rise, I want to see the mid-rise. So the like I said, the two main contact points for Airbnb listing is its title, because these are the two first things guests see when they're scrolling.
Yeah, so when you put the title, you're putting first the bedrooms and like, is there a format?
So the way that I tell my clients is don't list the city because people already know where they're traveling to.
Okay.
They only give you a certain amount of characters to list a title, so don't be redundant. Meaning, if I go in, before you go searching for anything, you have to type where you wanna stay. So if I'm typing, I wanna stay in Atlanta for 5 days, I don't wanna see a listing title that says Atlanta. Because now my listing title is going to be not important. It's not going to be important.
You wasted some characters.
Yeah, you're wasting your characters. So with the listing title, they see that, and then I might add a star on it. A lot of people don't know that, so that's a tip. I might add a star on my listings. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. Depend on the unit. And then the main contact photo, which is the first photo they see.
Gotcha.
It needs to be bright. It needs to be lit up. Doesn't need to be... A lot of times, it's either the living room or the kitchen. Depending on how nice the kitchen looks.
Now, we spoke about the photography, and you said that's a big point, right? Obviously,
yes.
Taking the pictures.
Right.
But the interior design, how it looks inside is very important.
Right.
You walked in here today, and you said, all right, there's some things, right? You were calculating things in your head. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an interior design background, or is there a team of people that you've built along your journey?
So, I don't have an interior designer background, but I know how to do a little something. Okay. So... I just have an eye for the business. Like, this is my niche.
Yeah.
So when I walked in here, I was like, you know, like, that's just me. Even when the one I went to, I just came back from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was looking for everything I saw in the pictures, and everything was there.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying be petty or be like looking for small things, but the interior designer things do matter. People want to be comfortable when they come stay. That's the main point.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable here, I get a 5-star review.
Is there a standard thing? Like, I know a lot of times when we talk to people, alumni that are doing real estate,
mm-hmm.
they keep things standard, right? We spoke to Greg Parker. He says he has the same paint for his door, same paint for his walls.
Yes.
Is there a standard design that you have when it's your place? Like, we know we're staying in Lexi's spot?
No.
It just
not
depends.
Not at all.
Okay.
Because, so let me tell you this. When it comes to real estate, it's a little different. Greg is right. Like, I know Greg's standard. I know his is gray. When I walk in, it's going to be gray. It's going to be white tile on the ground.
Yeah.
All the walls are going to be
and
gray.
And the door's going to be red.
And the door's going to be red. That's big business.
Yeah.
But my units, I try to do them all different because one thing, the industry is becoming saturated, number one. Number two, if mine is different than everyone else's, people are gonna book mine.
Mm.
So like, I have a movie theater and it took me forever to come up with this idea. I was like, dang, I'm tired of doing the corporate units or just the luxury units where it's just a sofa, a kitchen, you know, a coffee maker. I was like, I wanna do something different. So when I thought of the movie theater, I was like, okay, bet. I got a projector.
Mm.
I got a crown molding wall. I got a popcorn machine. I got a tray full of snacks as if you were at a real movie theater.
And this is in a house?
No, this is at a loft.
Okay.
That I have here. It's a loft. It's not an apartment. It's a loft.
That's what we're going to have to, next time we come back to Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nah, that's dope. So a lot of people sell experiences in part of their package as well.
Exactly. That's
Is that something you do as well?
No, I don't do the experience. That's like more so of a business, like maybe doing pottery or maybe doing something like going to get fried ice cream,
mm-hmm.
photography, skateboarding, things like that.
Yeah.
The movie theater is more so of a vibe. So like, I'll get couples that come in, a bunch of anniversaries, a lot of husbands, they'll bring their wives. I know for a fact, like 20 of those kind of reservations. I have people, they bring kids, they'll have like girls' nights, slumber parties, those kind of things.
Okay.
for that unit. And then my friend Maddie, he's also in the business, he has an arcade, and his arcade is listed at like $1,700 a night.
Wow.
So just from him scaling his business, doing it a different way, to answer your question, look how much he gets to charge.
Yeah, that's
nice,
an
you know?
So
and he only pays $1,900 in rent a month for that unit.
$1,700 a night, $1,900 a
exactly.
month. Wow.
So okay. You could Airbnb stuff besides just living. Like, you can Airbnb.
Yeah,
you can. There's some creative things. There's a tree house here in Atlanta. It's not Atlanta. I think it's Stone Mountain. She charges $375 a night, and she's booked all the way until the end of December 2020.
Yeah, I think I saw something.
You saw
like that. Yeah, it's like, I'm like, wait, why would somebody? But people want unique experiences.
Yes.
They want, sometimes they want to be away from the city.
Exactly.
Like a real tree house?
Yeah, like no joke.
Her husband built it. He's a mechanic. He built a tree house in their backyard. It's literally in the middle of nowhere, a bunch of woods. He tore down a few trees and he built the tree house. You walk over a bridge.
That's what I saw the bridge. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You walk over the bridge with the Christmas lights. It's beautiful. The tub, you looking out the window, like, I'm gonna have to show it to you. It looks really, it's beautiful. And it's $375 a night and she's booked every night. Like, you can't even book it right now and she still appears in the algorithm. That's big. That's really big.
So there's a lot of costs that come into this, right? So I listed a few, and if I miss some, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the furniture and the decor that you have to put up.
Yes.
People don't think about this, but the TV, the cable.
Yeah.
Because that happens. Wi-Fi, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Obviously, you put the cleaning costs. Are there any other costs that people don't really know about that they should if they get into this?
So you. So let me go over my checklist. So you have the rent, you have the deposit, you have the application fee, you have the admin fee, you have furniture, decor. You have basic amenities like paper towels, tissue, because I buy those things in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to buy them in bulk. Let me tell you why. When I first started, I would be buying, like, I would go to the dollar store and get like a 4-pack of tissue. And then I find myself going, the guests talking about they ain't got no tissue. I got to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to take them tissue.
Right.
So then that's when I started buying it in bulk. So, you know, once you start buying things in bulk, laundry detergent, coffee, creamer, you know, that stuff kind of adds up.
Yeah.
So you have those basic amenities, and then you have, you don't have to do cable. A lot of my units have Fire Stick.
Okay.
So the Fire Stick has live TV, it has pay-per-view, so they can see all the fights and stuff like that. You don't have to have
cable. Cut costs on that, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then Wi-Fi, of course, you have to have Wi-Fi. And your...
Electricity.
Yep, Georgia Power. That's it. Georgia. So I tell my clients, don't, outside of those that I listed, you don't need anything else. So when you get furniture, don't go get no furniture line of credit.
Because
that's an extra bill that you're going to have to pay every month. Right. Don't do it.
So let me ask you this, because it's like I told you off camera, I was thinking about doing this in LA, but I wanted to live there. Do you recommend, is that a good idea to like have a place where you're actually physically living yourself, or you shouldn't mix those two?
So you're saying if...
Like live there part-time and then Airbnb it out part-time.
You can do that. That with me, I got real OCD with me sleeping behind people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sleeping behind different people. So that's just my personal preference.
The vibe is not... It's a little off. Yeah.
Because you get different people coming. People international. You get bed bugs. People don't understand. This is... I really run a mini hotel if you think about it. So when I think about that, hotels have bed bugs.
Yeah.
And people, you just never know where people are coming from. So I honestly don't suggest that way. Some people don't care just because they travel so much. But me, I would never do that.
Okay. So let's say, let's take for example, April. I book one of your spots, but something comes up and I have to cancel. Is that something that's rolled into your cost? Like how does that work, cancellation fees?
So with Airbnb, there's three different cancellation policies. You have strict, you have moderate, and you have flexible. So flexible, moderate, and strict. Strict, you have to cancel within 14 days. I believe moderate, you got 7 days. And flexible, 48 hours.
Which one do you recommend?
I do strict.
Strict.
Oh,
strict?
No, you're not getting over on me. Because you have to be careful with taking that risk of not getting booked if someone cancels 24 hours before or 48 hours before and you don't get booked.
And you lost money because it wasn't...
Now, there are some instances where people will reach out to me based on how their profile looks. And that becomes a screening. Like I had a guy, he had like 20 reviews, all were 5-star. And he told me his grandfather passed and he sent me the, I didn't even ask him for documentation. He sent me the, I think he sent the death certificate. I gave him a full refund.
Okay.
So I'm not like, I don't go that far. But if you're just canceling and you don't tell me anything, then no, you're not getting your money back.
Gotcha.
Can't do it like that.
And most people don't know Airbnb takes a percentage of each reservation, right? You want to talk about that a little bit?
So Airbnb takes a 3% service fee, but it doesn't come out of your profits or what you make.
Where does it come from?
The guests pay it.
Yep.
So let me say this. The guest has its fee, and you have to pay 3% service fee for Airbnb.
Okay.
Got it.
Gotcha.
So how quick can you get an Airbnb? Like, all right, let's say I get an apartment. And how quick of a turnaround can I realistically expect to start Airbnb-ing it out and somebody coming to?
So honestly, I'm going to be straight up with you. So my units, I tell my clients, you don't take longer than 7 days to get furnished. If you take longer than 7 days, I'm putting you at the back of my list. Because this is what happens. Say I pay $1,200 in rent on the first. I need to be listed by the 7th. Why? Say I take 14 days. Guess what? Rent coming up in 2 more weeks. So now you're coming out of pocket with rent.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense. It makes your investment pointless. The point of it is to get somebody. It's a short-term rental business. So you got a short period of time to get listed. You understand what I'm saying? So when I tell my clients, hey, once you get your keys, you need to, once you're applying for the place, you need to be getting furniture. If you know you're not going to get approved, then you don't need to be applying. You need to find somebody who you know is going to get approved. So once you get listed, once you get your keys, I tell them 7 days. A lot of them take 3 or 4 days. It just depends. Then I'm scheduling my photographer. So I'll do my walkthrough to make sure everything looks as it looks, as I did here. Mm-hmm. And then I'll schedule the photographer. The photographer, he's my own photographer. So he normally gets them back to me within 24 hours. I'm listing them.
And then how long, when you list it, what's the usual turnaround time for somebody actually books it?
2 hours, 3 hours.
3 hours? Wow.
I can show you that on my phone. My clients be getting booked. They be having 5 reservations by the 24-hour mark, period.
Period, with a T.
Period. I wasn't saying period. I'm saying by the 24-hour mark.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like, the actual period.
Not like a city girl's period. Like an actual.
Not the city girl's period.
Actual period.
Both are the same. It's the same thing.
By 24 hours, they be like, Lexi, is this my unit? I'd be like, yep, that's you.
That's you.
Yep.
Outside of the cleaning thing, you said that was kind of hurt you in the business. Is there any other obstacles that you face that you can tell people? Like, mm-hmm. Hey, look out for this.
Look out for this. Screening. You have to be careful of people who have negative reviews already. Mm-hmm. People who are, let me say this. Natives, I don't accept Atlanta reservations. I just don't. Because this is what I asked them. Why do you need my place if you live here? Nothing. I will accept them under conditions. Mm-hmm. Because I have people who live here and they have businesses. They'll come film like this. Yeah. I get these all the time.
Okay.
People, cooking shows. They love how the kitchen's set up. What else? Just.
So you think like if they live in the city, it's something fishy. They throwing a party.
They probably throwing a party at your spot.
They doing something.
Or you doing something you ain't got no business doing. Now I do get those couples.
You cheating on your wife. You doing something. You doing something.
Some extra.
No, that ain't none of my business right there.
Nah, you doing something. You doing something. You doing something.
But I will ask them if I see that your profile states, because your profile will state you live in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then if I look at your area code, if it's a 404-770-470 or 678, I'm not going to accept you. Well, so
That's the area. That's the zip codes.
Those are the 4 zip codes for Atlanta.
Got you. What? So
A lot
of times people say no parties in the Airbnb, right? But mm-hmm. there's no cameras inside. Is that based on the security outside? Is that something that should be standard in all Airbnbs, having a security camera outside to see the traffic coming in?
You all know a party. You will know. I know a party every time. I had a guy come stay in the loft, the movie theater loft, and he told me it was him, his wife, and his kids, his 2 kids. When I went in there, it was 12 pizza boxes at the door. It was 4 trash bags. They had a bunch of pink and yellow plates and a bunch of pink and yellow silverware in the cabinet. This ain't no kids. He was like, oh yeah, I live out of town and my kids came. My wife came and we just had a party. So on that unit, I had a camera. I had a Ring camera. And I didn't look at my cameras. Like, I don't go look at them. If a guest tell me something, I'll believe it. Like, I was like, okay. But something kept telling me, my instinct was like, go look at these cameras. This man had 14 people in my unit. He said it was only supposed to be 4 people. There were 14 people. It was a huge little slumber party with a bunch of girls. Like, you know, it wasn't an issue. It was a principle. If you would have just told me that from before, I would have let you did. But because you didn't tell me, now you're about to give me that $20 per extra guest fee.
That's what I was going to say. So there's a charge for every person that comes in outside of that?
$20. Okay. You can charge what you want to charge. Some people charge 10. Some people charge 15, but I charge 20.
Whoever that man is, you played yourself, man.
So when it comes to the security, it really, you will know a party. Like, I've had units where there were ashes everywhere. There leave roaches all in the, you know, on the counter. Just messy. You'll smell it because a lot of them don't have balconies. They're just careless.
So you could just decide not to let somebody use your Airbnb?
Yep.
And there's no reason why you got to give them?
Well, if they book and you want to cancel them, you have to give a reason. But if they're just inquiring, you don't have to accept them. You get what I'm saying? So you on Airbnb, you can inquire and send like a message like, hey, how close is this to the airport? That's an inquiry. And then I have the option of accepting the pre-approval.
Yeah.
So you can go accept the pre-approval or you can just do an instant book. Either one.
Do you do a, I know like as a guest, you can write a review, but does the owner, you write a guest review as well?
We write reviews as well.
So if it's the first time I signed up for Airbnb and I'm trying to get a spot, obviously I don't have any reviews.
Yeah.
Is that looked upon in a certain way?
There are a lot of first timers. So I really don't judge off you not having any reviews.
Okay.
If you don't have any reviews, it's like don't hang yourself type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So I'm giving you the rope.
How do you know what to charge?
You have to, that comes with location, furniture, the amenities that you offer. Those are the 3 main things.
Do you just take like the monthly rent divided by 30 days and kind of come up with that?
No. So you do have to do it that way, speaking technical. But when you are getting into the business, don't go get a unit for that where you have to pay $5,000 and you know you only can charge $100 a night. Because then you're not doing 100 times 30. You got to do like 100 times 19, 100 times 20, because you have to account for those vacant nights.
Vacant nights. Mm-hmm.
You might not get booked every night.
And weekends are always more.
Yeah. Well, you can make it that way. Mine's aren't. Oh, some yeah? people, no.
Is there a specific time of the year that is just peak season? Or
yep. Does it matter? Now it's peak season because, so everyone's unit is different. I have a contract with an acting agency. So I have to, and with Sony. So I have a lot of actors that come in, and it's pilot season. Okay. I think I just learned that, so I didn't even know nothing about no pilot season. I guess a bunch of actors are traveling.
Yeah.
So they're coming. So about from this time to about summertime, it slows down when it's back to school time.
Yeah.
So like August, September, it starts to slow down.
And I'm sure Tyler Perry bringing everything he's brought to Atlanta is helping that.
But
right?
honestly, Atlanta's. He's about to build his own hotel on his campus, on his base.
One stop shop for real.
Pissed. I love him, but pissed.
He has automated systems.
He's about to build a whole hotel on his base.
Oh wow,
it's crazy.
Nah, wow. That's, so one last question. So all right. So you don't have to have any special insurance.
No, just $100,000, depending on the property.
$100,000 of renter's insurance?
Yep, renter's insurance on the apartments. Insurance. On the luxury apartments, you have to have minimum $100,000.
Okay.
Yep.
So what's your personal take on the future of Airbnb? Like, do you think that, because like you said, there's a lot of issues with like LA specifically, New York, Boston.
San Francisco.
Yep. Do you think that, in your opinion, do you think Airbnb will continue to prosper, or do you think it's going to become harder and harder?
I honestly think it's becoming harder, but there's loopholes to any business. Mm-hmm. Politicians have loopholes. The president got loopholes. Every business that you have, it has loopholes. So when it comes to the regulations, it doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means you have to register and pay taxes on it, as if you were doing a regular house. So okay. People think about regulations, even with Boston. They never say you couldn't do it. Tampa, too. They never say you couldn't do Airbnb. They just said that you just have to register so you can pay taxes on this.
So you're registering it as a business?
With the state.
And then that income, you pay a tax, 1099.
Exactly.
At the end of
the year. Yep. Yeah, so they're not saying that you can't do it.
They're just saying that we need a piece.
Yeah, we need a piece. Thank you. That's it. So to answer your question, it really...
just depends.
Yeah, it just depends.
It depends. The thing is, it's all about...
But Atlanta, though, excuse me to cut you off. Atlanta is really prospering. Like, this is a city for it. Overall, 2018, Airbnb took $450 million of revenue from hotels.
Yeah, and that's the problem as far as, like, it's just the same thing with Uber and the taxi lobby.
Exactly.
And the hotel industry is extremely strong.
Yeah.
And it's like now it's starting to kill the hotel industry. Yep. So now they fighting back. But Airbnb is $1 billion company as well. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to just go. So it's going to be a fight.
Yep.
But it's a lot of pressure that's being put from the hotel industry.
Yeah.
And you got community organizations and neighborhoods.
All that
and stuff
kind of
like
stuff. And then with hotels, you have like occupancy fees. You know, when you go stay at a hotel, you got to pay all those fees on the receipt when you check out. Permit fees.
Yeah.
We just, Airbnbs, they're making us do the same thing.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's not going to really cut nobody profits. It's not that bad.
All right. So in the next segment, we're going to talk about how you help people and how you educate people to get in the game and since how they can get some money in.
One-on-one, yeah.
So, all right. So you're young and you got the game figured out and you're making a lot of money, but you also teach people and you've been teaching. So what made you want to do that? Because you could have just been getting money on your own. What made you want to go into education and actually, teach people and make them successful?
You want to know what really made me get into education? Greg. Big business.
Shout out to Big Business.
Shout out to Big Business.
Alumni. Man, King of North Philly.
North Philly.
Big Business is what made me get into education.
How'd y'all meet?
Instagram. Wow. Instagram is a huge platform. I actually met Greg on Instagram and I became his client. And then we spent New Year's together last year. We were in Miami. We go to Philly. I just go to Philly just to go up there and kick it with them sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's how I met Greg. But just with, I figured this business out. Once I had figured it out, I was like, well, it's time for me to do something else. I didn't want to keep just getting units. I was like, well, that becomes boring. Mm-hmm. So then that's when I thought about the classes. So my classes, they last about 4 hours, and they're extremely informational. They're just larger. The one-on-ones is more so you actually getting your unit. That's my one-on-one. With the classes, it's just information. So you have to go figure it out on your own.
One-on-one, you actually take me through the process of getting it.
Yep, step by step.
Step by step, mm-hmm. even down to you bring the interior designer in my spot.
Exactly.
Watch me get my first property.
Yep.
Wow.
Everything. And then I list it for you. When you just come to my class, you have to figure that system out yourself. Mm-hmm. I have step by step by step with my one-on-one program for you until you get listed, all the way until you get booked. And then once you get listed, a lot of my clients join my property management company. So literally, like, you're holding onto my arm the whole entire time you have your unit.
Yeah,
what's the enjoyment of, like, because Troy's an educator, and I teach financial literacy to kids. So, like, it's a different feeling for me to, like, know when you're, it's good to know something.
Right.
But when you could teach somebody something, for me, and I'm sure Troy feels the same way, it's a different level of fulfillment.
Yeah.
And it's a different feeling. So, like, what's the feeling for you? Like, when you actually teaching and you can tell that they're learning, and then, like, they have success. Like, how does that feel?
It feels so good. It feels so good, me posting my client. So if you go on my page, I have a few of my clients listed, their listings. It feels really good. It makes the mistakes that I made worth it.
Worth it.
Yeah, it really does. Like, I used to be like, dang, now I'll be having, man, I'll just wake up to five clients. You know what I'm saying? So now I get to a point where it's like, dang, those mistakes I made, people are really, so with the mistakes that I was making, which is how I came up with my automated systems, I put them all in an Excel sheet. Mm-hmm. So there's logistics for it. So for every mistake I've made, I promise that for any issue you have in the business, I have a solution for it. Mm. Yeah. There's not a solution I don't have for a problem in this business. And that's something that I've scaled. Yeah. So it's something that I've worked hard for. There's mistakes I've made. There's Superhost status that I lost from those mistakes that now I can teach people, hey, do it this way so that you don't make this mistake. Yeah. Hey, go this way so that you don't do it the way that I do it. Yeah. So it feels really good.
The last time we went to Atlanta, our guy Alex, he actually said that. He was like, people are not paying to learn from me. They're paying to get my mistakes so that they don't make the same.
Yeah,
that's true. So sure. The classes, is it spread out throughout the United States? Are the clients from everywhere? Because I know you're based in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Do you have Airbnbs outside of Atlanta?
No, I don't have Airbnbs, but my clients do.
They do, okay.
So we can do it virtually. Mm. So we can do it through a phone call. That's how simple my one-on-one program is. Yeah. But it works. And if you do it the way I say,
I was gonna say,
good.
Investing in yourself is the best investment.
Absolutely.
I tell people that all the time. It's like, what's the price? If you play basketball, how much would you pay for Michael Jordan to show you how to play?
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a price on that.
You
like,
can.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like that kind of, it accelerates.
Yeah.
You might get to where you want to go by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole thing, having a mentor.
Exactly.
Having a coach. And this is why, like LeBron, like he pays $1 million a year just on his body.
What?
He has to,
but there's a reason why he's not hurt every year.
Exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Hurt.
Chefs and massage therapists, mm-hmm. trainers and all that. So it's like, I always tell people with your business, it's like, what's your budget to improve your business?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you don't have a budget to improve your business, you're not serious about improving your business.
That's true.
It's just a fact.
Yeah. So, and then I see other people, people look at my price and they compare it to other people's. So if I charge, I just went up to $2,000 January mm-hmm. because I'm like, I saw how many clients I was scaling. I'm like, this is worth more than what I'm charging for.
How many
for.
Clients you got right now?
Right now I have 67 clients.
Wow. Okay.
So for 2020, I went up to $2,000. So now my one-on-one is $2,000. And I go on other people who are doing Airbnb, and they're charging the same thing, mm-hmm. but we have the same systems. And there's other people who are charging a whole lot less, but they're just getting their feet wet.
Mm.
My feet are wet. Like I'm swimming. You see what I'm saying?
How many sessions do I get with the one-on-one? Is there a monthly time, or how's that work?
No, it's we rolling. So once we're in the process, we rolling. You call me how many ever times you need to.
Okay.
Like it's not no allocated time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's no allocated time.
Now, you also do a master webinar?
Yes, I have webinars.
Yeah, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so my webinar is what I originally started off with before I started traveling on tour. So the webinar was, I think I hosted like two or three before, and it's the same information that I teach in my classes, except mm-hmm. I had so many people that were out of state that I was like, well, there's no need to do it here in Atlanta. Like, there's no need to have a class here in Atlanta. So then I got to a point where my audience became bigger. So I was like, okay, now I can start going on tour. So my webinars was just for me to jump out there to see what was going on. And my webinars, I would have like 50 and 60 people.
Yeah, you're just touching the reach, seeing the reach, seeing
my
reach.
So I was like, well, you know, it was my beginning stage, my webinars. Yeah. I haven't done any recently because I started traveling. So.
All right, and then you also told us, which we excited about, that for us, you're going to give us a discount for
anybody
that's listened to this podcast, right?
So anybody who listens to the podcast will get $199 off my 101 program with the portal. So use promo code EYL199.
So promo code EYL199, and then they get $199 off.
Absolutely.
Yo, Ernest, y'all heard it, man. Y'all gotta get in this game. This is a good way to start.
No, it's all about exposure. And, you know, we just try to provide as much information, especially from people that's relatable.
Right.
And, you know, I really think that, you know, a lot of people can relate to you and being young, being, you know, being African American and just doing your thing. So, thank you. Thank you for joining us, man. This is really educational for me.
Yeah, this is
thank
dope.
You for inviting
me. I'm definitely going to try to get into the, Airbnb game.
Yeah.
That's a fact, because I stay in enough Airbnbs. We stay in enough Airbnbs that it's like
always.
We know how it works, and we utilize it so much. We use Airbnbs more than we use hotels at this point.
And then one thing that I do say is every time I go stay, I look for something that I can use in mine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I find something different every time I go to a different Airbnb of something like, oh, okay, well, I can use this in mine. Then I'll go get it. And I'll go to stay somewhere else. I can use this in mine and I'll go get it.
So how can the people contact you? Can you tell them your social media handles, any website or anything like that?
So my name is Alexia Wright. My social media handle Instagram is _Alexia. It's AlexiaWright.
Dope. Troy, housekeeping items?
Yeah. Shout out to everybody on patreon.com. Y'all know that's our Proud to Pay program. It has been revamped. So shout out to everybody that is with us. You know that our top members get access to EYL University. That is our online school. It's webinars 3 times a week for myself, Shadi, Matt, MG, the mortgage guy. And then we always have a guest webinar on Wednesdays. Shout out to our brother Jamal. He hosts on Wednesday webinars. And shout out to our new patrons, Joey, Patrick, and Jonathan. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the community. And thank you. And everybody's been supporting the merch. We got some new merch dropping. So be on the lookout for that. And yeah, man. Appreciate y'all love.
For sure. Shout out to Atlanta. And shout out to the good people of More Than 9 to 5. They gave me this merch, this t-shirt. And shout out to everybody that gives us merch. We try to wear as much as we possibly can. We get a lot of merch, but something I want to, you know, highlight. We try to encourage entrepreneurs and just spread love, spread good energy. So yeah, shout out to everybody that's giving us merch. And yeah, once again, as Troy said, EYL University, if you're not a member, sign up. And thank you guys for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.